Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall, and this is the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. Now, before we get going with this week's guest, we've got a competition for you. We've joined up with our friends over at Yashira to provide you with the opportunity to win one of their amazing jerseys. Yashira are a relatively new, small company based in the UK, making really nice mountain bike jerseys. Nice, subtle designs, good quality material, nice cut, definitely worth checking out. They're going to give away one of their designs of your choice to one lucky winner. So head over to yashira.co.uk and check out what they've got to offer. All you need to do to enter the competition is to go onto social media, find Instagram, follow us at Downtime Podcast and Yashira, which is at Yashira_MTB. That's Yashira spelled Y-O-S-H-I-R-A. And then comment on either our competition post or Yashira's competition post as to why you deserve a new jersey. Entries close on the 10th of July. We'll pick one lucky winner and we'll get in touch and you can have the jersey of your choice shipped to you. Okay, on with the usual bits and pieces. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get it delivered to your device as soon as it's available and to join our newsletter so you can keep up to date with what's going on. You can do all that over at downtimepodcast.com/subscribe. Also, we've got our new Facebook group where we can share tips and tricks and little things to make people's lives better on a bike. Just go to Facebook and search for MTB Performance and you'll find us there. All right, we've got another great guest for you, and this week it's Vero Sandler. We talked to Vero about her move away from racing, how she approaches learning tricks, her views on social media, and much, much more. So, without further ado, here's Vero Sandler. Vero Sandler, welcome to Downtime Podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers. Cheers for having me.
Nice one. Tell us a little bit about where we are, right? Because this is a pretty cool place.
Yeah, we're in near Sheffield at my boyfriend's house, who lives literally on the edge of Wharncliffe Woods. So it's a pretty sick place to live for him. Like, literally 5-minute ride to all the trails. So I can't complain about staying here.
Nice. You got some plans for riding this week?
Yeah. We basically just go to the woods every day and ride because there's so many good, like, little sections in there, loads of, like, cool little trails and couple of hidden jumps that are really fun to session.
Excellent.
So yeah, never get bored in there.
Nice. Good week ahead then.
Yeah.
Cool. So tell us a little bit. You're from New Zealand originally. Whereabouts?
I lived in Nelson, but I was born in Auckland, lived there until I was about 15, and then I moved to Nelson up until I left home. So Nelson was amazing for riding and stuff.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, that really like got me super stoked on riding and racing and stuff.
Awesome. So, when did riding come into your life then? What age did you hop on a bike?
I started mountain biking when I was about 13 or 14.
Right.
My little brother Leo was into it beforehand. I was into horses, actually, as, like, most young girls are. And he was riding loads. He made it sound really fun, so I kind of went on a couple of rides with him, and then I got super hyped on it. I saw how stoked he was on it, and it kind of, like, transferred over to me, and then I got super stoked on that, and I just kind of got over the horse riding phase, and then I just started riding my bike loads, and we've had some pretty sick times since then, me and my brother.
Awesome. What was your first bike?
Depends how legit. Let me think. No, yes, I had a Scott Voltage hardtail.
Okay.
That was like my Voltage?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. That was like my first proper mountain bike that I started doing some downhill races on and stuff. And then after that, my first downhill bike was a Giant Glory, like those super ones with the super fat frames.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was so light and it was like the heaviest. I literally was just a passenger just like following the bike down the hill, but I was stoked to have a big bike.
Awesome. Oh, the dog's joined us.
Hello, mate.
What's this fella called?
This is Bertie.
Hey, Bertie.
There's four dogs in this house, and he's the, I wouldn't say he's a favourite, but he's definitely the cutest one, I think.
Excellent. He looks pretty chilled.
Yeah, he keeps it stoked, don't you, mate?
Nice one. Cool.
Do you want me to say
No, he's cool. He's cool. So what about racing then? When did you first, what age were you when you first entered a race?
Literally just after I started riding, really. So I was probably about 14.
Okay.
Because back then it was like basically just racing was the only thing to do, I guess.
Right.
And I did actually, the reason I got super stoked on it was because I watched a national race, and I was like, oh my god, this is the coolest thing of all time. And then, yeah, I just, me and my friend Sophie Marie from back home, we both kind of got into it together, and we just like really wanted to be like the guys that we watched in racing. So yeah, the first race I did, they had like a national secondary schools kind of thing in New Zealand, so we did that, and that was sick. So then, since then, I mean, from then on, we were just like, racing is life. All we want to do is like do really good at races and stuff. So it all took off from there, really.
And was that a downhill race, your first race?
Yeah, straight into it was. Downhill. Yeah, it was a pretty chill downhill track, but
yeah,
felt gnarly to me.
How did you get on then, first race?
I think I came third.
Oh, nice.
Which was like, there probably weren't many girls, maybe like six or something girls, yeah. But I was on the podium anyway, so that was all that mattered.
And was that was enough, right? That gave you that buzz, oh, and yeah, that hunger, sure, to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. And then you were obviously like, you progressed through the racing scene in New Zealand, getting some pretty good results. How did the move to the UK come about?
So when I was in my first, I came over to race Chambry Worlds when I was a junior,
right?
With the New Zealand junior team, and that was, yeah, I was like so stoked to be over there, and I was supposed to go to uni right after that, but that kind of made me, I was like, I'll give it another, like, I'll go overseas another time, like, the year after that. So I did that. And then I was like, oh, this is all I want to do. Like, I'll sack uni off for the minute. And I just came over with a couple of mates from New Zealand. We just, like, travelled around and did the World Cups and a couple of different, like, European Cups and stuff. And that was, like, the sickest year ever. That was 2012, I think. Yeah, that was amazing. Like, we were just, like, no parents. We were just doing whatever we wanted. We had like a little VW transporter that we borrowed off some people in Germany, and we were just driving around doing all sorts of stuff, and it was the best time. So from then on, I just kept doing it over and over. I kept going back to New Zealand during the winter over here, and then working quite a lot, making just enough money to come back over here. Doing like the World Cup season again, just doing that over and over for about 4 years in a row. And then I thought, one year at the end of the season over here, I was like, oh, it's quite expensive. Like, it does get quite annoying being so skint all the time and only just being able to make it back to Europe every year. So I thought, I'll give it a shot just staying over here for the winter.
Yeah.
Because the flights and stuff are so expensive.
It's super expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just did that, and Manon got me a job at her dad's skate park in Cardiff.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I worked there over the winter, and I actually had an awesome time in the UK. Like, despite what people say about it, it's actually amazing. And the trails and stuff were so good. I learned loads of skills riding in that skate park all the time. And then I made loads of good friends around in the UK, so it just kind of started feeling like a bit more like home to me. So I've just been here ever since, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been here for 3.5 years. And the first time I went back to New Zealand was a couple of months ago. So I had a pretty long break from it for a while.
Yeah. Was it nice to be back there?
It was cool, yeah, definitely. It was amazing to go back. But it definitely reminded me, like, why I like living over here. It's just so removed from everything else, uh-huh. So far away. I really like the accessibility of just being able to go to Europe, like, casually.
Yeah.
Within a day or something, not having to pay $2,000 to get there.
For sure.
So, yeah. Both countries are amazing, but, UK is definitely the one for me at the moment.
Nice one. And, you carried on with your racing side of things and,
yeah,
you know, working your way up, chipping away at it. And then you ended up riding for, was it the Wide Open team?
Yeah. Last year, in 2017, I rode for Wide Open, which is kind of ironic because I spent like 5 years trying super hard to make it as a racer, and then Wide Open put me on their team as like a media rider.
Okay.
Because I started doing a couple of like little Insta videos and stuff, and they thought, because I'd already had their race team sorted, actually.
Right.
I did hit them up, and I was like, yo, do you need someone for your race team? And they said, oh, we've actually already got that all dialed, so, but we can help you out as, like, a media writer and do videos and stuff like that for us.
Yeah.
And then I ended up doing, like, some nationals and stuff, and I did Fort William World Cup last year with them as well. But not having the pressure of actually, like, having racing, made me do, like, I did so much better at races last year than I'd ever done before.
I was going to say, Fort William, was that your best World Cup result?
That was my second best result. Okay. I had one better in 2014 at Fort William as well.
Right.
But, like, I won a national and I came second at a couple and stuff, just without the pressure of being an actual racer, so that was awesome.
Interesting. What was going on then? Why do you think you felt were able to do that?
I think, well, mainly because I think the whole media thing is basically just, I don't know how to put it. I just, at the end of 2016, I just started riding for fun and not worrying about racing and stuff.
Yeah.
And then making videos and stuff that just come out, you know, like I'll just be having a good time on the bike and someone will just film it.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going out there and trying to make videos all the time. So it kind of just, over that winter, I kind of just had a bit of change in lifestyle as well, like moving to Bristol with my parents and then coming up here Lowe's and riding with Max.
Yeah.
And I think I just, having a sick time and not, because I used to just go out all the time and literally just either train or ride in order to get a good, like, oh, I need to go fast down this track so that I can be faster at this World Cup and stuff like that. That kind of mentality didn't really work for me. So I just had a good time on bike. I started learning a few tricks, started just having fun, like trying to slap some turns and stuff. And then I think I just learned so many more skills in that half year than I did probably in 3 or 4 years of racing World Cups.
Yeah.
So that probably all, I think I'd picked up some pretty good skills, which would have helped in those races as well. And then also just not having, like having something else rather than just being a racer. Knowing that I was like on a team for other purposes and stuff, just kind of took the pressure off the whole, oh, I have to do good at a race kind of thing. Because I never really had that race mentality. I'd always feel so good in practice, like, yeah, it's going to be sick. And then I'd literally get in the gate and feel like my legs would go jelly. I just wouldn't be able to ride. Like, it was a super weird feeling. I'm sure a lot of people get that, but yeah, it's pretty frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it, that when the pressure's off and you're maybe even not trying as hard, but then the results start to come.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a big mental edge to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Cool. So end of, going through 2017 season with Wide Open, and then this year, no racing, working for Marin, right?
Yeah.
What drove that change to move away from the race scene entirely?
I do still want to do a couple of races this year.
Uh-huh.
I just haven't done any yet. But the other, like, the whole just having a sick time and filming some stuff is definitely, has just become more of a priority to me. Like, it's so much more fun. It's obviously, like, nice and chill, relaxed. Like, it's just literally, the dream for me, basically. And when Marin came to me and said, oh, we want you to ride for us and to do, like, exactly that, I was like, okay. Definitely, like, that is pretty much the dream for me. So that's kind of, I don't know. And I think it seems, when you're a female, it seems that unless you're, like, top five World Cup racer, it's super, super hard to make a living off it unless you've got something else going for you, like social media or, like, something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, big respect to people, all the girls who are still racing World Cups and getting top 15s and just, like, persevering. But it kind of came to a point for me where I was like, it's not really working. Like,
fair play. So was it a decision that you made and then you went to look for other ways, or did Marin come to you?
Decision with,
well, to kind of try and move away from the racing side a bit and to focus on the video side.
It didn't really, like, it just kind of, I just kind of, at the end of 2016, I was like, it's just like, my results aren't getting any better. They're just kind of staying within that, like, 10th to 15th placings.
Yeah.
And that's like all. And I'd worked so hard every year, like working in the off season to just do that. And I was like, what's actually the point? Like, it's not, like, nothing's really happening. So then I just kind of took, like, stepped back and just started having fun on my bike. And and the video thing just, like, kind of naturally occurred from there.
So Marin spotted you, came and had a chat. And
When I was riding for Wide Open, they actually got me a Marin through Wide Open. So I was riding a bike. Well, I was riding one of their bikes.
Yeah.
And then, from there, I got to know John Oldale the Marin guy. So then they just said, next year, would you be keen to just ride for us? And I was like, definitely.
Interesting. Yeah. How important do you think kind of your non-racing presence was in that Marin thing happening, right? The whole Instagram side of things.
Yeah, I think that was super important. Because they've got their racers. Like, they've got Martha Gill, who's a super sick enduro racer.
Yeah.
And a couple of guys as well. So they don't really care. Like, racing isn't what they want me to do, really. They just want me to, they want me to keep that whole media thing up, which is, like, sick for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were doing, even before the Marin side, you were doing a lot of, you know, social media, lots of little videos and stuff. Like, how, speak from experience, building an Instagram audience is quite hard work, but more and more important, and it's effectively, like, free marketing for yourself, I guess. Like, any kind of tips for people that are trying to do that, young riders that are coming up and trying to build a good social media thing?
I think, like, I've definitely got pretty lucky with the whole, because I really haven't sat down and thought, shit, I really need to build my social media. How am I going to do it? Uh-huh. I've kind of just literally had a sick time on my bike and then happened to be like, oh, can you get a clip of this? And then put it on Instagram and be like, wow, that's like, people love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love it as well. So it's kind of just, comes as like it's just like a passion to me, really.
Yeah.
And I think you can really tell, there's a couple of, like, each to their own, but there are a couple of people, especially a couple of girls, who you can tell that they're going out every day. Don't know, they might be riding, that's fine, like, but all you see is, like, a super clean photo of them in their riding kit, like, posing with their bike kind of thing, and it just looks quite forced.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, they're like, shit, I need to post, I need to build my following, so I'm going to post this, like, posy selfie on Instagram or something. I don't know, I think, like, yeah, if you're having a sick time on your bike and you're film, and then you get film it or something like that, people are going to be stoked on it because they can tell that you're genuinely having a really nice, like, really fun time with your mates or anything like that. I don't know. Yeah, I think I've got pretty lucky, like, with a little girl video niche thing that I'm kind of doing at the moment. I think it's definitely a lot harder for guys, but there are a lot of people like Josh Lewis.
Yeah.
He's definitely, like, built something cool for himself. It's like, I think it's all about just being creative and coming up with some cool things that you don't really see that often, which is super hard to do. Like, it seems like a lot of people have found, like, it'll be super hard to think of new stuff as well. But yeah, if you just, like, go out and have a sick time on your bike and and you, like, improving loads and taking videos of it, I think people, it's just what people get stoked to see.
Yeah, and just being true to yourself, I guess. Like you said, not creating content for the sake of content, but just creating content around having a good time on bikes.
Exactly.
And enjoying yourself.
I think, keeping it real, like, keeping, like, actually showing what you're doing rather than, like, it's hard to explain, rather than making it look like you're doing something that you just kind of took a photo of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense, Now, I think people, maybe, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to get sponsored. Mm. They think it's kind of the holy grail that you then just get given loads of free stuff and just hang out and go riding. But I'm guessing there's more to it than that, right? Like,
People, like, I get some messages sometimes of people saying, like, do you have any tips for getting sponsored? Where, like, it seems like that's people's goal in life, just to get sponsored.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a superficial thing. To just to be able to say that you're sponsored,
mm-hmm.
whereas, like, if you the same kind of thing with Instagram, if you're genuinely having a sick time and you're, like, going out and progressing and doing all that stuff, then that's the kind of thing that, to me, that people, like, deserves to get sponsored, rather than, you know, trying, like, writing a super good CV and, like, showing it to someone and being like, please sponsor me because I want to be sponsored, kind of thing.
Yeah, so do something you're passionate about and the sponsorship will come your way, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about a few of the projects that you've done. I saw some stuff with you fairly recently on a cyclocross bike.
Yeah.
Getting pretty wild. Like, how was that? That looked interesting.
That was sick, actually. Super random. Like, I'd never ridden one of those gravel bikes before.
Yeah.
But But Marin have got a pretty cool, like, that Four Corners cyclocross bike. So we went out, me and Nikki Wiles went out to Malaga with a couple of the Marin crew to film a video on it. And I was pretty scared because I was like, damn, this, like, it was so rough going off some of those. We went down some of those downhill tracks and stuff. Not the super gnarly ones, but it was still, like, crazy rough.
Yeah.
But it was actually so much fun. Like, I would definitely get one of those bikes and genuinely ride it on stuff just because it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, you can get so wild and it looks so funny because you're on, like, drop bars and stuff. So much fun. Yeah. That was a cool experience for sure. I'd love to do, like, a proper trip in, like, Scotland or something like that with panniers on and that kind of stuff.
Big adventure kind of trip.
Yeah. Because they can actually handle, like, gnarlier stuff than you think.
Okay.
We put them through their paces for sure and they held up to it. So
good stuff. What other projects stand out then? What stuff have you kind of done recently that you've really enjoyed being involved in?
It's hard because I actually I just love doing all of them. But there's one that has not quite come out yet. I don't know if I can.
It's up to you.
When will this podcast come out?
In a few weeks.
Okay.
We can time it with the launch of the video, kind of around then, if that's.
I don't know if it'll matter, but
okay.
What I'm the most, like, really stoked on is I just filmed a Red Bull Raw 100.
Oh, nice.
At Black Mountains, like, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to come out at the start of July, I think. So I'm super stoked to see that. Yeah, really awesome. Excited.
That'd be cool.
And we did actually just kind of do a spur of the moment video last week with me and Manon riding at Llangollen.
Yeah.
Which is, like, something we've wanted to do for ages, just us two riding together having a sick time.
Yeah.
But we were always away at different times and like finally we got in one place at the same time. We filmed this video, which is, like, I think it's cool. Really stoked on it.
Yeah.
And it should be out soon.
The trails are pretty gnarly up there as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No messing around.
But there were some very wild moments.
Yeah.
it was sick.
Cool.
And stoked on that.
And you went out to Barcelona with Tani and Manon and Chaos and Cade this winter. How was that? It looked amazing.
Yeah, that was crazy. I've never really... I wish I started doing dirt jumps early, but I've never really done them up until that trip. So
right.
I literally got my dirt jump bike, like, that week and went there and then turned up and I was like, fucking hell, this is gnarly. Like, wow, that place is amazing, but it's so gnarly.
Like, some big trails,
right? And the ground is, like, very hard if you go down.
Which you did, right? You had a bit of a dig.
Me and Tani experience.
Yeah.
But such a sick time. Like, there's so many lines. There's, like, this super small one that we started off on. Obviously, Manon is, like, insane at dirt jumps.
Yeah.
So she was kind of teaching me what to do while I was kind of just, like, going off what she said. But at the end of it, like, we progressed so much because there's just so many lines. You can, like, go from the small one to, like, slightly bigger one to slightly bigger one. At the end of the day, well, end of the week, got some pretty good ones down. So pretty nice. That was an awesome trip, yeah. Sick to send it with those girls as well.
Yeah. Do you think riding dirt jumps kind of transfers, like, helps your general riding ability when you're out and about, or is it a totally different thing?
I think, definitely, because I've definitely noticed it because I've only really started doing it since then. And I've been to a couple of places, like, near around Bristol and stuff, like sand dirt jumps.
Okay.
And I've definitely noticed, like, a lot of progression. And, yeah, also, obviously, it transfers over to, like, being able to boost jumps and stuff on your downhill bike.
Yeah.
Which is such a good feeling. I've always wanted to do that, like, being able to boost jumps. So, yeah, it's sick. I think people who start riding dirt jumps when they're young have insane skills.
Yeah.
Like, you see people like Ollie Wilkins and that on a trail bike.
So
you're
smooth.
Like, what? Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So how do you go about learning tricks? And you've got a pretty big bag full of tricks these days. Like, how have you got, like, a process that you kind of work through? You pick something and then you follow kind of a learning process, or you just do or die? Like,
I'm not really the kind of person who just goes in and sends it and crashes a lot.
Right.
I like to keep it pretty chill. So if there's, like, say if I was learning no handers, I wouldn't go in and be like, all right, this time I'm just gonna throw my hands off. I, like, take them off tiny bits at a time until eventually I'm doing a proper one. But it's kind of just happened through riding with the boys that I ride with. They like, it's super sick the way they just set in stuff and get super stoked on each other learning stuff. So if I see one of them do one, I'll be like, oh, like that could be cool to try. And then I'll just sort of see how, like, the tricks that they're not super gnarly, the ones that I've got down, but like I've been, yeah, I haven't had too many gnarly moments learning those. But I think like now where I'm at, the next step, like the next tricks are going to be quite gnarly. So okay. It's going to be like a gnarly transition for me. I don't know. Because I'm always really scared of crashing and hurting myself.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Well, so that means you can't work, right? You can't ride, you can't work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, yeah, the way I learn them is I kind of just like do it a bit slowly and slowly but surely. Eventually yeah. I'll get there.
Like a progression, yeah, kind yeah, of work yeah. your way yeah. up sort of thing. And is there, what's the hardest trick for you that you've learned so far? Like what's been the hardest one to get?
To be honest, like, tuck no handers and nothings and all that are so much easier than doing whips.
Okay.
Like yesterday, there's a step up in the woods here that I've always been like, oh, I just can't whip because I'll give it like 3 goes and I'll be like, no, I can't do it. It's too hard. Like, I'll look at a video of myself and be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm literally just turning my bars. And then yesterday we had a session on a step up and I was like, all right, like, I'm really going to crack down now and try and get it done. And I did progress a bit, but it's just like, it's just one of those ones. Say if you're doing a sui or something, you'll just take your hands off and put them back on and that's the trick done. But yeah. with whip, it's like, there's just so much, you can always get better and better at it. Which is like, yeah, I got to learn to not get frustrated about that.
Need some tips off Chaos. He seems yeah, to have that
yeah,
pretty
Chaos. Pretty yeah, my brother actually has ridiculous whips.
Right.
So, but, I don't know. They're like so good that there's not even any point trying to do anything near that.
So how important has it been having people like that around you, like your brother Leo,
yeah.
and you know, being able to ride with people like Chaos and the crew yeah. that you've got here? Like,
yeah.
How important is that?
Like, I think it's, yeah, super important. Like, that's definitely the main reason that I've, like, kind of reignited the, like, just got super stoked on riding again after having all those years of racing and not really going anywhere. Yeah, it's, especially these boys here in Sheffield, they have such a cool vibe going on every time they ride. Like, so stoked on each other, always supportive. And, like, you see quite, especially with girls sometimes, you'll see there'll be a session going down and the girls will be kind of stoked on each other, but also, like, a bit of, like, jealousy going okay. on and stuff like that. So it's just super cool to ride with people who are genuinely stoked on seeing you progress and doing yeah. cool stuff.
Yeah, I always get that impression when I watch any of, like, the 50-to-1 yeah. content and yeah. stuff. Like, they're always, like, so excited yeah. when one of their mates lands
yeah,
a trick.
Yeah, it's so sick. It's almost like they've done it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So you mentioned kind of maybe a little bit of tension in that, you know, those groups of women riding. What are your thoughts on the state of women's mountain biking these days? Where do you think it's at?
I think it's, I don't know if it's because I've come from New Zealand where it's really small to over here, but it seems like it's growing a lot. Like there's a lot of, we've done a couple of like women's days and stuff. Mm. We did one at Bike Park last year and we just did one at Black Mountains. And it is so sick to see so many like big groups of girls out riding all the time. And it is like, I used to go riding all the time and literally I wouldn't see a single girl on the trails, but now every time I go, there's definitely a girl out there, which is cool. And it is cool. Like, I'm not a big advocate for singling or just having women specific things.
Right.
Because I think it's just, I think everyone is equal and they should all, like, everyone riding together is what would be sick.
Yeah.
Because I have so much fun riding with those boys that, it really shows that it doesn't have to just be, like, girls only and then, but it is, like, I think for the ones starting out, it is really good and it really encourages them to come out and ride if there's women-specific stuff because yeah. it can be quite intimidating. So, yeah, things like that are sick. I think it's really growing and there's so many sick, you see on Instagram and stuff, there's so many girls who are getting like really good.
Yeah, yeah. Big
especially
time.
In like in the UK, there's some crazy good girls.
Yeah.
Super sick.
What's the response been like to the stuff that you've been doing then? So you had the day recently at Black Mountains yeah. with Manon, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was cool. It was awesome. Like there was so many girls come out and all of them were loving it. Well, I hope. I think they were. They looked like they were. Yeah, it was really cool. All the vibes were sick, and everyone. Yeah, it's just a lot more encouraging for them, I think, if there's other girls hyping them up and stuff. Because I don't know. Sometimes guys can get like the guys. You wish they'd just come and like help the girls out, but sometimes they just end up showing off or like come on, just hit this jump. It's sweet, just to like sound tough, but actually yeah. It's not sweet for the girls. Kind of thing. So yeah, it's just really cool having them all together and everyone's having a laugh and having a good time.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. It's good that you're doing it as well. Yeah. It's excellent. And any advice then for young women that are kind of getting into the sport, any tips that you give them?
I think, I know it's hard for them. Well, I know it is scary and intimidating and stuff, but I think just trying to not worry about, you know, not looking good on a bike or something like that, because no one actually cares. Like,
no
guy is going to be like, oh my God, that girl sucks. Like,
it's just cool to have more people.
Everyone sucks when they start out. Yeah.
I still suck.
Yeah. I suck at stuff too. Like, it's like, if just to not be self-conscious about stuff and just like have a good time and get on with it. That's like how you'll progress. Because it's really hard to have a good time if you're stressing about like other people or like riders coming up behind you and stuff like that. Like, it's up to them. They can like sort it out. They can wait or pass you or something.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Just like have a good time. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah, cool. So back when you were racing, you were clearly smashing it out in the gym as well and doing a lot of training around the sport. But you still get in the gym, right? You still do training with Ben down at MTB Strength Factory. Why are you still doing the gym stuff? Like, why do you see that as important?
To be honest, I just really, really love going to the gym.
Okay.
Like, obviously, like, it's beneficial to riding and all that kind of stuff as well. Like, I definitely noticed of it. Like, last year I broke my ankle and I was out of the gym for a while. And you definitely, like, it's the worst feeling when you notice that you've, like, lost some gains or something, like, lost some strength and something. But I just really enjoy it. Like, I just really, really like going there. And, like, there's nothing better than smashing a session out and just feeling wrecked at the end. I just love the feeling of that. So, like, even if I didn't ride bikes and stuff, I'd go to the gym a lot anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think it benefits the type of riding that you're doing now still, even though you're not racing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Especially in, because I do, you do still have to have some strength. And, like, for tricks and stuff, it's nice to be able to, like, hold your bike up or, like, move it around more and stuff, that kind of thing.
And it kind of helps you get away with mistakes maybe a bit more if you can hold on to stuff as well.
Yeah, and obviously, like, with injury prevention, it's probably quite good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the gym.
Interesting. Yeah, not many people seem to love it, but there's definitely a few people that get a buzz out of it.
Like. Yeah, I definitely get a buzz out of it.
Yeah, cool. So what's next then? What's coming? Have you got some plans for the rest of the summer?
Yes, I'm going to wear it. I've actually just bought a van off a friend who's like built it into a little camper thing.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to go to Europe at the end, towards the end of this month, like around Crankweights Europe time.
Okay.
And then we are just going to travel around and ride some cool spots and film some stuff, which should be sick. Yeah.
Nice. Have you got any locations that you're excited to get to?
Yeah, well, obviously Morzine is like where we'll be based there.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, good
always
scene.
Always goes good. Yeah. But there's quite a few places that I've not been to yet that I really want to check out that I've seen on videos and stuff that look amazing, like that Livigno in Italy.
Right, yeah.
That looks really cool. A couple of places in France that I've not been to yet. There's a few new places as well opening that should be sick. And I've not been to Verbier.
Okay.
I haven't been there either. So there's definitely, there's definitely some spots that I'm pretty hyped to go to.
Yeah, you've got some good stuff lined up.
Yeah, it should be sick.
Are you going to be at any of the Crankworx events?
Crankworx in Leger I'll be at.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah.
Taking part or hanging out?
Not sure yet.
Okay.
I've got to...
There's whip-off to be done.
it is my goal to one day do a whip-off, but I don't want to go in and make a fool of myself. I think I'll give it a year and then, maybe.
Get your whips on lock and then,
Actually, we'll see. In the next few weeks, maybe... If something miraculous happens, maybe I'll give it a go.
Who knows? That'd be good. Yeah. Be good to see.
Yeah,
good stuff. Nice. Well, we've got a few questions that we've asked all of our guests so far, so we'll hit those up and then we'll finish up. First one, if our listeners had £100 to spend to improve their performance or their fun on a bike, what would you recommend they spend it on?
Ooh. £100.
Yeah. You can go a bit over if it helps. Inflation.
To what? To improve your fun? Have more fun?
Yeah, have more fun or to go faster or any of that.
Well, going to a bike park, getting uplifts or something.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, like, I don't think spending it on parts or something is going to make them have any more fun.
I agree.
Especially if it's £100 worth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just spend it on going or, like, you know, paying a bit more fuel to go somewhere new and riding some new stuff.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
like,
cool.
Can improve.
Any spots that stand out in your mind, like if you could choose anywhere to ride today, anywhere in the world, like is there somewhere that you think, oh, I'd be well up for that?
Anywhere in the world? My favourite place to ride is in Hafjell in Norway.
Okay.
Which is like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So good. So I'd definitely go there and ride.
Yeah. I've seen some footage from bike paths there and it looks
it's just
amazing.
Got everything, like the what's it called? Roller coaster. The jump track is insane. Like, it's got some decent jumps, and then there's obviously like the World Cup downhill track, which is gnarly as well. And it's just an amazing place and super nice. Like, just like super nice views. Everything's really nice and clean. Yeah. It's just like an amazing place.
Cool. Well, £100 might pay for a lift pass up there. So
yeah,
job done.
Probably just. It's a pretty expensive place.
Yeah, cool. Question two is, if you could wind back the clock and have a sit down with your 16-year-old self, what advice would you give her?
I would say to just have, firstly, ride dirt jumps.
Yeah.
And then also just session stuff. Because I think, like, I've been trying to, it's puzzled me for a while why riders in the UK are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't necessarily have huge, like chairlifts and stuff like that. But, It makes sense. If they all just session stuff, like they'll build two turns and just ride them over and over and over.
Yeah.
And say if you're like in Whistler doing, what do you call it? Uplifts.
Yeah.
Going up the gondola or whatever.
Stuff,
yeah. And you're riding a downhill track, you're not picking up those skills like one after the other, like over and over and over. Like you'll be hitting like one turn, then you'll hit it again like 20 minutes later. But if you're hitting those two turns, like, over and over, like
week.
10 times in 5 minutes or something, you're going to get insane at them, aren't you? Like, yeah. I think that's, like, so good for your riding.
Okay.
That's something I've only just started doing since being in the UK. And it's
You're the first person to say that, and I'd never thought about it, but, yeah, I can see that.
I think, like, that's the only explanation I can think of.
Well, we've got short trails, small hills, so you end up sessioning a couple of sections or a particular jump or whatever. Yeah.
Or just building something and just having a sick time on it. And just, it's really good for your riding, I think.
Yeah, and if there's a certain thing that you're not very good at, like you say, go build it and work on it and improve.
So, for sure.
Cool. And then the last question, if you could have a coaching day with anyone, past or present, who would it be, why, and what would you want to learn from them?
I think Sam Hill was like the sickest person ever.
Yeah.
Like he was like, he was like my idol from when I started riding. And obviously he still is like the sickest guy. But it's always blown my mind how he hits insides like that.
Yeah.
So I definitely have a coaching on how to hit inside turns from him.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
Excellent. I'll let you have one more then because you were struggling to choose by the looks of it. Would there be another rider that you'd go for?
Well, I don't know. There's so many good ones.
Yeah, it's tricky.
There's so many. That's really cool. And then obviously it would be cool to have like some lessons on how to be super steezy on jumps.
Right.
And I think, I don't know, I think Andrea Lacombe guy
is
so sick.
Yeah.
He's just got like that crazy effortless style on huge jumps as well. So that would be really cool.
Nice. Yeah. Good stuff. Cool. Well, that's it for our time together today. If people want to kind of follow you and keep up to date with what you're doing, what's the best way to find you?
Instagram, probably.
Okay.
You just hit me on there.
Yeah. What's your handle on there?
Just Veronique Sandler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. We'll put it in the show notes.
Quite hard to spell, but.
I'll put it in the show notes and then people can find it as well.
Yeah,
so.
Sick.
Yeah, good stuff.
Awesome.
Nice one. Well, thanks for your time. It's been good to sit down and have a chat. And we look forward to seeing some more projects from you throughout the year.
Sick. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, that's it for another episode. I really hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Don't forget to enter our competition with Yashira. All you need to do is follow us on Instagram at Downtime Podcast and follow Yashira at Yashira_MTB. That's Yoshira. And comment on one of either our posts or Yashira's posts for the competition, telling us why you deserve a new jersey. Winner will be picked on the 10th of July. All right, we've got another great guest coming up for you soon. But until then, get out and ride.